Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliates.
Today's show is Foundational Gifts, hosted by life coach and leadership strategist Nicole Kirksey. Nicole offers her spiritual gifts to encourage us all to live boldly and to fan the flame of God's gifts in us.
For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk with the host or call in via our toll-free call-in number, 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at ChristianWomenAffiliate.com. Here's your host.
Well, hola, 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 and welcome back to the Foundational Gifts Blog Talk Radio Show here on the CWA Radio Network, where we give you a 15-minute biblical infusion to help you fully step into the calling of God on your life for ministry and for service. I'm your host, Coach Nicole Kirksey. Follow me on Twitter at Coach Nicole and visit my Facebook page at Foundational Gifts. So you caught me in the middle of a chuckle. My daughter is making fun of me as I pre-record the show. She doesn't usually hear me when I'm starting my show, and so she's like, why, where's your accent? Like, why are you sounding like total gringa? But that's part of the persona in my show. I do speak Spanish, but I'm not fluent, and so I make fun of my own Spanish. So anyway, that's part of why I start out every show by saying hola, hola, hola. So anyway, hi everybody, and welcome back to the show, and we are in the second installment of another health-related series. The series is called The Seven Domains of Health, and we are addressing the seven domains of health that were put forth by the University of Utah in their Women's Health Center. These domains were taken from some literature, much of it from the World Health Organization that talks about, there are some models that talk about 8 domains and 10 domains and 5 domains, different domains of health that go outside of just physical health, but talk about wholeness in people and our well-being. And it's really important for me to continue to talk about health on our show. We talk about, we've done a few series on health. And part of the reason why it's important is simply for biblical reasons. At the top of the list is the 3rd book of John, the 1st chapter. There's only 1 chapter there, but verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That's the King James 2000 version. And the New King James version says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So when we read the scripture, we see that health is a top priority. Health is a version of prosperity. It's a sense of wholeness, a sense of completeness, and a sense of wellness. And the same way that our minds are together and our spirits are strong, in top priority needs to be our physical health. So there are various domains of health that we need to address. And as Christians, being in full and complete health should be a means to an end, not only the goal. So yes, we want to definitely be healthy for health's sake. Of course, we don't want to be sick or unwell, but really we have a higher purpose, a stronger purpose around health, and that's to be better and well so that we can serve and help others and so that we can fulfill the calling of God on our lives for ministry and for service. Some of our health is certainly in relationship to our personal choices. And it's around our behaviors and the way that the Bible teaches us to behave. Certainly, the more and closer we adhere to biblical principles around health, the better off we are. There are plenty of biblical principles that promote health and prevention of disease. And when we line up and obey with biblical principles, we put ourselves at less risk for certain health conditions. We may not be able to prevent them entirely. We still live in a fallen world, unfortunately. But certainly reducing our risks and increasing our wellness is important for our own sake and for everybody that we will come in contact with. So why don't we talk about health in relationship to our spiritual gifts? I mean, again, the gifts themselves were given to us by God. They're our superpowers. They're our part of the way that God made us, and he has a purpose for our lives. And in order for us to fulfill it and be able to maximize the impact that we have for the kingdom, it is in our best interest to be in great health. And I personally see everything through a lens of health. One of my master's degrees is in health education. I have a master's in public health and health behavior and health education. I was a health education and social work practitioner for over 20 years. And I'm currently a university instructor in the areas of health care administration and epidemiology. I'm a curriculum developer, and I coach and teach leadership around health and wellness issues. So whatever I'm looking at somehow gets filtered through the lens of health anyway, but I really do see the fact that if we're not well, we can't really serve anyone else optimally. And the healthier we are, the stronger and better our service is, the greater others benefit from our own gifts and our own blessings, and the greater blessings we experience. If we're not well and we're trying to serve at a level of wellness that is above us, we are going to be exhausted, we're going to be ineffective, and frankly, we're going to get resentful. And so people are not going to be blessed in the same way that they would if we were at greater balance. And as women, we chronically care for other people first. Children first, men first, anybody else first, anybody in need first. You know, if we were on an airplane, we would just pass out because we would never want to give ourselves the oxygen mask first. But we have to. We have to take excellent care of ourselves so we can continue to serve others and continue to benefit ourselves. So this week we're going to talk about physical health, and there's a link in the show description page of the seven domains of health. It's visual. It's like a picture. It's like a pie, seven-piece pie. And we're going to just take the pie in each piece. And so the first little slice at the top hand right is physical health. So if you take a look at that, you'll see where we're starting. So what is physical health when we talk about it? So when you talk about health, you're talking about a measurement of functioning. And health can be described at different levels. So a high level of functioning would be considered optimal health. You are well, all of your organs are functioning, you feel great, every measure of health is at top level, so that would be a higher level of health functioning. And then lower levels would be considered various rates of sickness, disease, or lack of wellness. So even if you don't have a particular diagnosable condition, you can have a low functioning level of health because you just plain don't feel well, usually from something that is in your environment or a health behavior that is related to your outcomes, which we'll talk about in a bit. Health is also measured by the ability to adapt and respond to stimuli or changes in the environment effectively. So people who are at higher levels of health can respond to things that change better and stay at an optimal level of health than people who are at lower levels of health functioning. And one of the key measures that we have to always be aware of is our own personal sense of satisfaction and peace. That really builds from having balance in our lives. So we may not be at the tip top of physical health or where we want to be or where we imagine ourselves to be. I think about women being so concerned about our weight usually or how we look and things like that. We may not be at optimal levels or the places that we feel like we want to be in every area, but if we have a sense of balance, if we have a lot of social support, if our financial and basic health needs are met, if we're happy in our lives overall, then we can tolerate a lower level, if you will, of physical functioning without feeling the same level of displeasure, if that makes any sense. So health is also around balance. So if you look at that whole pie and all of those aspects, when all of those aspects are balanced, there is a sense of well-being, even though each little section, some areas of each little section may not be perfect or optimal, we still feel a sense of peace because we have more balance. When we're lopsided, even if we have great physical health, we may not feel well because we're out of balance. So we have to make sure that those two things are happening at the same time. You want to be at high level of functioning, but you also want to have balance with the other areas of health. So what determines health? How do we know that we're healthy? Really, two things determine our health, things that are within our control and things that are outside of our control. So they're like the serenity prayer, right? God grant me the serenity to change the things that I can. Those are the things that are in my control. And I don't know the whole prayer, but the things that I can't change, you know, I hand those over to you, and to know the wisdom to know the difference. Sometimes we try to control things that we can't, we blame ourselves for certain things being out of our control when there was nothing that we can control. So things that are within our control would be some lifestyle factors, which we'll talk about in a second. But there are things that are outside of our control, like our environment and our genetics, that also impact our health, that we can't really blame ourselves for if something goes awry because there was nothing we can do about it. If we've been exposed, if we have a certain exposure or a certain genetic predisposition, or even certain lifestyle things that are outside of our control, like our access to nutrition, if we live in a food desert, if you know what a food desert is, certain things are outside of our control. So we have to have that wisdom to know the difference. Yes, I can stop smoking. Yes, I can stop drinking excessively. Yes, I can start better hydrating. Yes, I can, you know, get better sleep, which things we'll talk about in a second. There are certain things that are outside of my control, and I just have to mitigate those the best way I know how, but I can't worry about those things. So those are the determinants of health, things within our control and outside. A good example of that is the story of life expectancy. If you think about, if you know anything about life expectancy, pretty much doubled in the 20th century. And at the top of the 20th century, in the 1900s, when people were dying a lot sooner than they do statistically now on average, the first jump in life expectancy happened because things that were outside of people's control began to be controlled by social determinants. So public health intervened and addressed environmental health, environmental issues first. So that was sanitation, that was clean water that also contained fluoride, and that was improved nutrition. So that was the first wave, the first jump, the first impact that we could measure and say when these things got into place, people began to live longer. And the second wave, also in the 20th century, which happened around mid-century, were medical interventions around vaccines. So people were not dying from things like smallpox and polio anymore because there were vaccines. And so there was another jump in life expectancy from that. So a lot of times people talk about, oh, you know, medicine helped to extend our lives. But really it was the things that were within our immediate control that we changed first that had the greatest and most immediate impact on life expectancy. So again, that's an example of within our control and outside of our immediate control, how health can be impacted. So we have to look at various factors. So what happens to us when we're not healthy? Let's just take a couple of factors related to health, and let's start with sleep and rest. There are a couple of studies that came out recently. One was out of Duke University, and I know people hate Duke because of basketball. I know I do. But but it's still a good university, very reputable. There's another university in Lowborough, a university in England, and they basically showed the same thing, that women need more rest than men, and it's largely due to how women's brains multitask. We have so much going on. We got so much going on in our brains. We need more sleep than men do because we have more responsibility. Socially, we take on more responsibility is what I should say, socially. Women are at higher risk for heart disease, stroke, and depression, for greater inflammation and pain, anger and hostility, for lack of sleep, and men don't face these same health risks for lacking sleep and rest. So that's one reason why we need to take care of our health. The outcomes are terrible, and we're at greater risk than men. We need more rest, and we need to carve that time out for ourselves. Another issue around health is adequate hydration. Being adequately hydrated helps to maintain our body temperature, removes our waste, helps to lubricate our joints, helps to make sure our organs and cells and tissues are all functioning well. Even with the slightest bit of dehydration, all of that stuff begins to break down. And obviously, as dehydration is chronic, we have chronic problems with organ and cell functioning, and that of course would impact our health negatively. So we want to make sure we have adequate hydration with water and other fluids. Adequate nutrition is not just about quote unquote getting enough to eat. Americans get plenty to eat. All of it's not food. All of what we're eating is not anything we would call food. One of my favorite desserts are, I don't want to use a brand name, but there is a brand name cake. It's chocolate on the outside and it has white frosting on the inside, and it's round. And I would take them to lunch when I was a kid, and I could eat tons of them. That's not food. That's not food. And there are other examples of frozen and preservative-filled things that are not food. Nutrition is the intake of food considered in relation to the body's dietary needs. So we can be eating a bunch of stuff, but if it's not meeting our dietary needs, we're not being nourished. Nourishment is necessary for growth and health and wellness, and the right amount of foods with the right nutrients in proper combination for each person's body. So there's some basic nutritional needs that all bodies have, but depending upon what our lifestyle is, we all have different nutritional needs, and we have to know what those are in order to adequately feed our bodies. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10:31, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we have to do it all for the glory of God. So one of the things we could think about is whatever it is we're putting in our mouths, is that really to the glory of God? It doesn't mean we can't ever have a snack or a treat. I believe in them. I believe we should have them daily. But on the average, are we adequately feeding ourselves with healthy foods? If we're not, we need to figure out a way we can do something about that if this is not a provision issue. So if we have enough money to eat junk, then we have to figure out how we can use those resources to eat better if we haven't been. Another huge issue is safe living conditions. This would include unintentional injury and accidents from just living in, say, an environment. We think about lead paint, for example. And just asbestos and environmental things where people with lower incomes have really challenging environmental issues that they're living in. But the main issue I want to talk about is domestic violence or interpersonal violence because it adversely impacts women. 20 people per minute are impacted by interpersonal violence, and 3 to 4 women die each and every day in the United States from interpersonal violence. And Psalm 11 and 5 says, the Lord's soul hates the wicked and the ones who love violence. God is not pleased if you are living in a violent condition where you are being controlled, manipulated, physically attacked, sexually attacked, whatever the case may be. These are not safe. And this is an attack on your health. This is an attack on your well-being. And I would encourage you to reach out and to get safe. And I will put a description of that in the show description page, resources that can help you if you're in that situation. But health-wise, this is very serious for women, and we have to always be aware and make sure that interpersonal violence of any kind is not a part of our lives. Another issue is smoking and alcohol. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 says, for us not to be drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. And, some people say, we need to abstain as Christians, et cetera, and so forth. The Bible just says don't be drunk. And I can't tell if you're drunk. if you're drunk. Don't drink to excess. 20% of deaths every year are caused by smoking. And women over 35 bear a disproportionate what's called burden of disease. We talk about public health and medical and epidemiological research, you'll hear that phrase, burden of disease. And women bear a disproportionate burden. They're at higher risk of alcohol-related liver disease and brain dysfunction. These are higher for women than men who drink heavily. And some studies show that alcohol is more detrimental to our health than smoking. If you smoke, just stop. There's no health benefit there at all. And of course, it's not really a matter of will if you have an addiction. I know I smoked for 13 and a half years, and I literally had to be spiritually delivered. There was no quitting. There was no putting it aside. There was no medicine or whatever they have out. None of that was out back in my day. It really was the Spirit of God intervening in my life and setting me free from that. If you need that, I would encourage you to reach out to your Christian brothers and sisters who have gifts and talents in that area who can talk you and walk you through accessing that deliverance. But in the meantime, you got to try everything in the natural that you know to do to put those cigarettes down because they'll kill you quicker than anything. So how can we get healthy? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit within us. So if we have the Holy Spirit within us, Our bodies are his temple. We are not our own, for we have been bought with a price. So glorify God in our bodies. And by glorifying God in our bodies, to me that means we have to prioritize ourselves. We have to prioritize getting healthy, and we have to prioritize staying healthy to the glory of God. Us being broke down, exhausted, tired, abusing drugs or alcohol or anything like that, being abused by someone else, none of that is glorifying God. It just isn't. We have to prioritize ourselves and make sure we are doing well. All those things I talked about, take an inventory of yourself. Make note. Make note of the things that you eat. How much water are you drinking? You know, how many fluids are you getting? How much rest are you getting? You know, what is the quality of your relationships? Are you being mistreated in your relationships? You really need to look at those things. Nobody really knows. We can't really look at each other with the eyes and say, you know, I think you need 2 more hours of sleep. You just can't really measure each other like that. We have to prioritize ourselves and check that out. We also have to get regular medical checkups. There's no reason why we can't access medical care right now. We have the Affordable Care Act, and wherever you are on the political spectrum, you still have it. Plans in the marketplace may seem expensive to you. There are some guidelines about getting an exemption. Many states have the expansion of Medicaid. There are resources for you, but we need to get regular medical checkups. That includes our annual physical. That includes an annual pap smear if you still have a cervix. It includes mammograms if you are 40 years of age or older. That includes going to the dentist not once but twice a year to make sure that your teeth are in order. That includes getting an annual vision exam whether you wear glasses or not. And if you need to see a specialist of any kind, you need to see him or her on your regularly set schedule. So don't put that off. Don't say, I'll go a little bit later, or I'll go next time, or I'll go when I get money. You have to go on a regular, on whatever your regular schedule is, to make sure that you're able to maintain your health. And if something is going on, they can catch it quickly, treat it as needed, and hopefully, you know, it won't get out of hand. And of course, just standard exercise and maintenance. So I would encourage you to really look at the links that I have. This is a lot of information in a short period of time. I know I'm over 15 minutes, but I wanted to literally dump this on you and let you know that the Bible supports you in prioritizing yourself and prioritizing your health. If you have been feeling unwell or if you want to get better, I encourage you to look into the links and let me know how you're doing. Give me a tweet at Coach Nicole and let me know how it's going for you. So that's our show for today. Please be sure to join us here on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern on the CWA Radio Network. And until next time, hasta.